entertain a motion that we begin our South Ogden City Council special meeting.
So moved.
Second. Motion second, all in favor?
Aye.
All right, welcome. We will skip the moment of silence and pledge because we don't have an American flag. And so we'll go straight to item two, discussion and action items. And I will let Matt introduce Fred and we'll just get into this.
Great. Well, at the last council meeting, a couple council meetings ago, right? We've been wanting to get Fred here and talk about the franchise fees and the utility rate adjustments, kind of revisiting the whole sustainability model discussions around those different fees and rates. And of course, they have an impact in the utilities as well as general fund when you're talking about the franchise fees. And so on short notice, appreciate Fred, you know, accommodating. He's a guy that's under pretty high demand. It seems like the more and more city managers and cities I talk to, they're like, oh yeah, we're working with Fred. And you guys know based on experience why that is the case. Fred does a great job, amazing job. And so appreciate you guys accommodating, you know, his schedule. He's got another meeting tomorrow night. And so we thought, okay, maybe we can just get together on Monday to go through these things. Just by way of schedule, right, we have tonight's meeting. Tomorrow at 5 is the pre-work session for the council where any discussions tonight or any additional things that you want to talk about as a council, that would be the next available time. Tomorrow night is the public hearing on the budget. And then you've scheduled the 14th, a week from tomorrow night, as a special meeting to finalize and adopt the budget. And so you'll have public hearing tomorrow night, and then any direction you give staff to finalize the budget can be made before the final adoption night. So with that, I will say that, you know, Fred and Steve is out of town, had some personal vacation scheduled a month or so ago, and he and I debated a lot on whether or not we were going to let him go. excuse Steve, but prior to Steve going out of town, he and Fred have been able to work together, and Steve's done a good job explaining to Fred, hey, this is what we'd like prepared for our meeting on Monday. So with that, why don't we let Fred go through the handout that I've just provided each of you, kind of walk us through that, and then we can field questions. As staff is seeing things right now, unless we're misreading or misunderstanding, we've really, as a council and staff, boiled it down to these final items. What are we doing for utility rates? What about the franchise fees and road improvement fees? And so we think those are the three things left to be finalized. So with that, Fred, do you want to? Yep. I will say Fred has another engagement tonight at 7:30. So if we can get him out of here in a 45, 50 minute time frame, would be great.
Yes.
Fred?
Yeah, so where's the road stuff? Where's the road handout? There isn't one. So my understanding was, when I spoke with Steve, his concern was the franchise allocation consideration with regards to the percentage. If you assess 3% versus 6%, what is the impact to the general fund as a result of that decision? But I'd have to get Wi-Fi access, but I can log back into the transportation utility fee, or I can attempt to, you know, answer some of those questions. But with regards to this handout, my understanding was there was some question on that utility fee allocation, the franchise fee and how that would impact the general fund. I should also put a big asterisk on this paper, and that due to the timing, really what I did to update this was Steve provided 2017 actuals and 2018 budget estimate and 2019 projected figures. Other than that, there wasn't a whole lot of revision with regards to the methodology or capital improvements with regards to the utilities themselves. So this, the chart to the on the left-hand side here is an illustration of that. If we just update it based on 2017 actuals and budget figures and then make the same growth assumptions, what would happen with also an adjustment down to 3% allocation. So the models now assume if you just had a 3% franchise fee allocation within the utilities, and then that's what's transferred to the general fund. So in the enterprise funds, that's shown as an expense. That 3% franchise fee is shown as that expense. So I've pegged it now to that because Steve indicated that that is what is the 2019 budget is built on, correct?
The current
budget is built on a 3% allocation. So a change to the 6% wouldn't break any of these. What's happening with Storm is more capital investment, in essence, based on dialogue. There was a maximum fee that we looked at, and the idea there being that we may not be able to fund 100% of the capital improvements moving forward, which is why that fund balance dips to the negative. So in essence, you can't fund everything in the capital improvement plan.
Can you hold our hands a little bit more and
yes.
show us what you're referring to as your
Yeah, so let me bring that over here. So this is just a summary of the outputs in each of those rate models. So you're at $10 now for your base rate. The proposed is to go up to the $10.60, a 6% increase. The subsequent increase is down here at $1.33 to $2.02 for Tier 2 and so on. This is based on the model, the projected fund balance for the water enterprise fund.
I just wanted to clarify one thing, Matt. I think the answer is that about 80-90% of our payers are in that tier one, tier two range, right? I mean, that takes
yes, that
almost
can.
Everybody's in that range.
Yeah, and I can, let's take a look. It's 77%.
How much
based on historic data? So that will fluctuate from year to year, but
when we go to tier three, how much more does that incorporate?
Tier three,
six.
Sorry, is 83%.
Okay, so tier one, two, and three are 83% of our
yes,
payers.
It's the majority of your payers. I mean, you want to get you typically look at getting the lion's share within tier one and two, and then your other tiers capture. So if you just look at tiers three, four, and five, you're at less than 25% is in those tiers.
Thank you, sir.
Again, this is based on older data, but it's relatively recent, 2014 to 2016 data. So again, the only updates I've made to this is the 2017 actuals and 2018 budget data, and then plugging in 2019 estimates. So it shows, the model shows that you still have to use fund balance. So it's not that rates are sufficient to cover everything. You have to draw upon your fund balance to pay for capital investment as you move forward. And it gets to that slightly below 150 days. So that's somewhat of a benchmark with regards to utility rates, looking at 150 days of working capital. And that stems from looking at rating agencies' review of utilities at a AA rating. They have about 150 days. So if you were to go to the bond market, if there were an emergency or a need there, you would have financials and data that would help you secure financing at a lower cost of borrowing. If you drop that, then there could be some potential impact. Now, there's other factors that rating agencies will evaluate, like affordability, your management practices, rate policies in the past. So they look at a lot of variables there. But this is a major target with regards to evaluating sustainability.
Fred, if I might, has the sustainability model for these enterprises always calculated a 6% every year? I thought at some point it was six for a few years and then it dropped.
Yeah, so I think we talked about that, you know, that those would be reviewed in the future, whether we would need, so like looking at these out years, it may rebound, for example, that your cash balance would start to increase and you may not need.
Once you get the capital project.
Yes, you may not need that increase in the future. So 6% is what I have programmed in the short term through the 5 year, you know, and I kept it out there. But again, beyond the 5 year, we wouldn't necessarily look at continuing a 6% increase. But that we would evaluate at a future point. So we looked at those percentage increases in the 5 year planning horizon, but not beyond. You would have to reevaluate that and determine if additional increases are needed.
So your property tax is based on a 6% increase here?
Well,
or is that 10%?
The property tax.
I mean, I'm looking at it here.
You mean in the what property tax are you talking about? So, are you talking about the charts on the right-hand side of this handout?
Yeah.
So, what? Let me just bounce through the rest of those charts. Are similar, so with sewer and storm, so that same process applied where we look at fund balance and those rate increases. But going to the charts on the right-hand side, what I tried to do was get an estimate of the impact of that decision of whether we do a no franchise tax assessment to the enterprise funds and therefore no allocation to the general fund, because that's really what's happening from that franchise tax allocation. Is that's an expense within the utilities, but then it's transferred to the general fund to pay for expenses within the general fund. So that is an expense on one side, but then becomes a revenue within the general fund. So I created this table here where it says scenario analysis, loss of franchise tax allocation to the general fund, to say at 0%, within the if you have 0%, then well, let's see. Let's start with the 6%. Basically, yeah, we're subtracting and saying, you know, the 6%. If you wiped out the full 6% from the utilities, and therefore the general fund lost that 6%, what would the impact of that be? So you'd be losing $300,000.
The enterprise funds would be gaining that back.
Yes, the enterprise funds would. That would be a wash, not a wash, but you would that expense would be eliminated from the enterprise funds. So it's a positive potentially on that side. Where, you know, if you said, well, we're not going to assess that 6% to the general and transfer that 6% to the general fund. It's going to be a loss to the general fund, but a gain in the enterprise fund. So at the 3%, it's kind of a 50-50 split in that the general fund would lose $148,000 in revenue in that first column. That's the highlighted in orange square. The general fund would lose $148,000, but the enterprise funds would see a net benefit of $148,000 compared to what our previous models had calculated, because we were assuming a 6% allocation now and into the future. So the enterprise funds would gain $150,000 because that expense would go away, so their revenue now is going to go a little bit farther, whereas the general fund would lose $148,000. So in my mind, that's really how you have to look at this. It's coming, there's an impact on both sides of this coin, the general fund versus the enterprise fund. And You can make a decision for the enterprise funds in the positive, but that has a negative impact on your general fund. So then I said, okay, assume.
But last year was the first time in the history of South Bog that we even had a franchise tax.
Yes. So as a new revenue to the general fund, yes, you can view it from that perspective. However, what you have to keep in mind is we, you know, within the general fund, we were looking at all revenues and expenses and capital needs, equipment, assuming that some of those those new revenues would be there. So the transportation utility fee, the enterprise fund revenue transfer to the general fund, as well as tax increases, were all brought together to try to fund the general fund operational expenses, equipment needs, and capital investment in the future. So if you remove one of those assumptions, even though it's a new revenue stream, if you remove that into the future, it has an impact to the tune of this, that we're saying, okay, now the general fund is short, or the model is short, $150,000. So that future projection with regards to operational expense, investment that we wanted to make in new expenditures and capital improvements will be less $150,000. We would have to either reduce our forecast moving forward or come up with that $150,000 in some other source.
Expenses.
What's that?
Or cut.
Yes,
expenses.
That's what I mean. So you remove it from your forecast, whether that's a reduction in operational expenses, or you say, yeah, we said we're going to fund additional police officers, or we said we're going to fund additional equipment or capital needs. Well, we can't do it at that level that we said we're going to do in that previous analysis. We have to maybe true that up by $150,000, whether that's a reduction in expense or change in our future forecast. So to see what that looks like, if it's the former, which is let's identify a new revenue source, if we said from the general fund, our primary area where we can influence new revenue is our property tax, you know, whether we say if we have to increase our property tax to make up that difference, that's what this additional table is to say, if we need to make up that 6% loss in revenue, what would our property tax levy need to be? And that's the 000289 here. I'm basing that off your current certified tax rate value of $1 billion and some change there. And that's the 2018 certified tax rate value. That's where these tax levies would come from. Say, okay, if we had to generate that lost revenue to the general fund, what would the property tax levy have to be? And I forecasted that out. What's important to note here is I haven't tried to forecast your certified tax rate value. Obviously, every year that's going to change, and so these rates would change in the future, but this gives you a kind of a present value tax rate analysis. Then what I wanted to do was compare that to your current property tax levy to give you an idea of proportionality of what sort of impact that would be. Using your current proposed tax rate, at least according to the tax commission at 002900, that highest, again, if the general fund lost that 6% or the $300,000, that's approximately 10% of that proposed levy. So it gives you an idea, that $300,000 is not a small amount relative to the tax levy. Now, the reality is the general fund has a lot of other revenue sources there that are available, so it's not 10% of your total general fund revenue, right, but it's 10%. Yes, it's 10% of that property tax levy or that specific line item. So in my mind, from this analysis, it is a decent portion of the property tax levy at 10%. Say if you eliminate the franchise tax expense in the enterprise fund, and then say within the general fund, we still want to keep it whole relative to what we had said previously, that would be the impact, a 10% potential property tax increase on your proposed levy. So, from my perspective, relative to working on general fund sustainability plans and the understanding of property tax politics, 10% on top of prior increases could provide some sticker shock for people.
Well, one of the things we have going on is our property taxes, we ended up with, was it Steve said, $223,000 more than we originally anticipated. Money that we didn't expect to come in because property values, my taxes are $800 more this year, but that's kind of beside the point. Sometimes the only way to stop the growth of government is to not feed it so much. And that's because you're going to use what you feed, or you control what happens to that money when it comes in. You just like you do with your own budget. You know, I can't go buy a car and pay $20,000, and most people can't. Some people do. They save up, they go in, they pay $20,000, they work. Go with their car. I guess they're more like 50 now, but the ones I buy.
I was gonna say I wish they were 20.
Yeah, the ones I buy are like 10. So
yeah,
but even at that, I take a loan. Next 5 years, I'm paying back that loan, and so certain things within our even government, that's the only way to do it. So I understand all of this, but I would like to go to the road fee, road maintenance fee. And because we haven't talked about the natural growth in that for its sustainability. And so that you know, the basic idea of what's happened is, so we increased the enterprise fund fees by 3% instead of 6%. That's where it sits right now.
Okay.
Now, to offset
for
2019, that.
Yeah. For 2019?
Yes.
For this next.
Now,
it was proposed
the franchise
six,
fee.
And then changed to 3.
Yeah, the franchise fee cut that in half. Okay, but and yeah, it's dedicated to parks in the general fund, and the other half was going to go to roads.
Okay.
So, where are we at last year? Because I know we underfunded it to see how it would go, but we haven't had any discussion as far as that goes. And I was hoping that especially the new council members could see we're out on that. I guess the basic debate is, do we charge the enterprise fees, increase that by 6%, then transfer it across from the general fund into the road maintenance fee, or do we just make the road maintenance fee the road maintenance fee and pay it directly? That's the debate, at least in my mind. And that's the debate before us. Do we go with 6% on the utilities and do this pay across the way, or do we just collect it into the road?
And that is built on the assumption that the only purpose for a franchise fee is roads.
Well,
if that's the desire of the council. But that was not the original intent of a franchise fee.
It's the current allocation of their franchise fee, not the purpose for.
But we used that at the time.
Correct.
But when we voted on it last year, we used it at the time because we didn't want to put too big of a road maintenance fee out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can disagree. That was your answer. I can remember pretty well because we debated all the different scenarios, and we said we can't have businesses taking this big of a
hit. Right.
And so we gave them a discount of 50% unless they were a nonprofit, and you know, like churches and schools and that. But when it came to that fee, yeah, we went for 1 year, all of it went to roads, but actually ended up only like 5 months. But
yeah,
we did it because we needed to bring more money into the road. The bottom line is we need more money for roads too. And that's the thing, we say sustainability here, sustainability there. Well, sustainability there as well, because we've gotten a lot done this past year, and we did it, and didn't go into debt to do it, which for a new council member, we went into debt in order to do some road projects, and we're going to be paying on that for another 3 years. That's money out of the pool. Now, when we pay off that debt, that comes back in. Now we have another $220,000 back into roads. That changes our sustainability. model. We did what we needed to. We did what we thought was right at the time.
3 years left on that.
2022, I believe, is when the...
Is that the classy bond we did?
Yeah, that's your bond. I want to say it was either 3 or 4.
Was it 10-year total?
It was a 10-year. It was a 10-year bond. I can't remember what year.
I think I saw in the audit that it was 2022,
Brad,
but I could be wrong.
Yeah, your philosophy would be to, you mentioned it, to lower the enterprise funds and raise the road improvement fees so that roads and all that.
Kind of balance things out.
But you're the only one I hear saying that is the problem. I haven't heard anybody else really back up that idea. So I get your idea, and there's a lot of logic to it. I think it's a tough, it's tough to educate the population and have them understand how that works, to be honest with you. Then all of a sudden now the road improvement fee went up. Well, we saved your money here, and so that's
not the point.
That's a bad sell.
I just talked to someone last night, and they said, hey, what about this, this, and this? And says it's sure nice to see lots of roads getting done. He said, I don't mind paying that fee at all.
Well,
so, I'm just saying to also jack that up again the second year, I just don't hear much backing of your theory on the council.
Yeah, except all I see is year after year after year, we're going, you know.
So, based on this dialogue, what I'm hearing is there maybe a way to reduce the impact on the enterprise funds, which has an impact on the general fund, but make up that impact on the general fund through the transportation utility fee?
Yeah.
To say, okay, if we're losing $150,000 in revenue to the general fund, can the transportation utility fee be set to generate an additional $150,000 or somewhere in the, you know, that you decide to generate that additional revenue in that fee?
Basically, what will happen is if we do the enterprise fees by 6%, if they go up 6%, then that same, you're going to have money transferred across into the roads based on our current ordinance, which is 50% for roads and 50% for parks. That's what will happen. It just changes how the money flows. It doesn't change the amount of money. It just changes how the money flows. That's all that it is.
Councilmember Strait, is the philosophy based on that you're presenting, in your mind, does it help the money remain transparent? And it doesn't mix it with general fund money that can supposedly get mixed up and go to wages, and next year a different council changes it and it goes to anything other than roads. Is that what you're saying, is you like the simplicity
yep.
of the road maintenance and it's straightforward and whatnot?
People know what they get, they see it. It's a better sell. It's an easier sell to me.
Yeah, so a quick... Again, I haven't verified this relative to what we showed in the past. I mean, sometimes there's needs to be corrections and things like that. But our...
Can you pull that up?
Yeah, sorry. Let me copy this down.
I feel it's already a partial win by the fact that we do have an ordinance that's... But, you know, I'm not balking at that.
So
I just think this would be better.
I think our current fee was the 570. There was some, I don't remember.
Change.
Yeah, some five, yeah. Some change. So
496, I think.
Oh, 496.
It's 496 for saying.
Oh yeah, that's right. That was the combined residential. The 496 was that average
yeah.
for everybody.
Yeah.
So
not
so bad. $5, and that was assuming. We had the $1 million as the target amount, but then we had the commercial adjustment to say, okay, we don't want to hurt South Ogden's commercial growth, and so there was that adjustment made. So our target amount of revenue was quite a bit less than that, you know, but we, again, had that dialogue with regards to economic development. So I just said, okay, if we wanted $150,000 more than that $568,000 that the model predicted, which puts us about $718,000 in revenue from the transportation fund, again, still assuming that there's a commercial adjustment of 25%. I have to set.
So the need is a million. Oh, it's actually more than that.
Well, the need. Yeah, that's more of a.
I just thought of that.
As much as you give me, I'll spend it.
Yeah, this is a. Yeah. This is now a model function. So we had originally started off with $1 million need relative to your LTAP study.
Right.
And said we needed $1 million to make this work. And obviously that came at a price tag. And so that's where the dialogue came of maybe that's too rich and we don't want to harm commercial growth potential for the future. And so this is now more of a model target to influence these numbers to get at this new number of 720,000 of estimated revenue generation.
So 496 went to 620.
Yes. So that $490, the $5 goes up to $6.30.
So we can either take the 3% and can use it like we kind of anticipated we were going to, or we can keep the ordinance sort of as we have it now and increase the road maintenance fee such we come out theoretically
about sixes.
About
Yes.
One hand or left hand.
3% or 6%.
So what's
we got? This assumes that your enterprise fund still has a 3% assessment. The general fund now has a loss of that 3%, and the transportation utility fee is making that up. Again, the asterisk with this model is we don't know how much revenue you will actually collect because there's no... Steve, you're building that database to assess your residents and commercial businesses, and there'll be fluctuations with that.
And we are getting some growth.
Yes.
So we're going to get some natural growth.
You would have to take that $5, jump it up.
I mean, 200 units.
And I'll pay that fee.
And the other note, I guess, is you know, the process to go back and revise this versus your... The utility fee is already built into that process is already built into the enterprise fund equation. So I don't know if you have to go back and go through the public hearing process. And
yeah. Is it possible that you show us side by side with your different tiers, the 496, 629, what 718 would be on tier one, what 1991 would be on tier two? Can you give me a side by side on that?
Yep.
So, Fred, one of the other things that is, for example, we had a discussion about there's some type of like road trip miles or something, some type of.
The ITE data?
Yeah, there's certain type of data that has to be built into this to make it to where it's not arbitrary.
Yes,
right?
We've done that step. So using the ITE trip data.
But we're below that, so it doesn't matter because we're well below what we theoretically could charge under that step.
I understand that. My question, Fred, and I pose this because I don't know the answer. I absolutely don't. Is there a way to charge, for example, we have four cars at our house.
Yeah.
Feels like five.
Yeah.
We have four cars at the house, but some people only have one, or,
yes.
You know.
Yeah.
Is there any way to do it to where it's proper?
Yeah, so the limitations with any study is the availability of data. But one way to potentially do that is vehicle registration. So the state or the county has, when you register a vehicle, so they should have a record of vehicle registration by community. So we could take that data and base it on the amount of vehicles within your city. So that also came up when we were presenting with Kaysville. Maybe that's an alternative methodology that's more fair.
But $1.1 million to figure that out.
Well, yeah. So it depends on the data.
Well, I think they have the data.
It could be readily available, but
he said it could be readily available.
So the flip side of that. So one person came to me and said, "Hey, let's do it on that." And then right after that, another person came and said, don't do it that way because I have a lot of vehicles, but they all just sit in my driveway. So that's what you have to be careful of, is that I don't know if there's a perfect methodology, but yes, that could be done to say, or what entities start doing is they say, let's do 50% based on vehicle registration and 50% based on an estimate of trip demand. So you're balancing the equation there. Or another variable that is important in this analysis is vehicle miles traveled, or VMT. That gets at, well, because trips is just a measure of how often you leave, you exit and enter your driveway from a resident standpoint. But one resident may travel to the grocery store and back.
Yeah, 10 times.
10 times, and another person may span your whole city and use every roadway in one trip. And vehicle miles traveled captures that. But you still have to aggregate that or average it based on different land uses. So it's very challenging.
So what we have is probably the best way, right?
It's a standard of practice that's used across the state with regards to impact fees and now road fees. It's not perfect, and there are those that will challenge this and are challenging this process. So it could, there's been dialogue when I was working with Kaysville that, the state, I think there was a House bill that the state, the legislature introduced and said basically you couldn't, I'll have to go see if you couldn't assess this to state agencies. You couldn't assess a road fee to state agencies, for example. So sometimes they exempt themselves from these types of fees. So it's definitely a topic across the state, and there could be legislative changes or legal issues with regards to this, but this methodology is reasonable with regards to trying to allocate proportionality across your land uses. It is an averaging, though.
So 629,
So there's that comparison.
Lisa, I think we talked about that in Tier 5, I think you'll remember this because you helped pull the data, I think. There are 5 businesses in South Logan, only 5 that fall into Tier 5.
I didn't help pull that data.
It was on that other spreadsheet.
But it was just a vague number, just a small number like that.
I thought
it was
11%.
Tier 5 and then Costco, Supersonic.
Right, and then Tier 4 we had a couple, it was more like 10 companies or something like that.
Right, that's what you're saying.
And then, Tier 3, 2, 1 almost had everybody. So as I go through that comparison that you did for us, there you go.
There's, I have that there were 7, but again, there may be some cleaning up. But
well, there wasn't many.
Yeah.
That was single digits.
You're talking about on the phase.
So you got your tiers there, right? So if you look at that side by side that was just done for us, where so we got,
let me collapse this,
5 people who are going from 100 and
it's really your largest
to 363. I can't read
it's really 629 that brings in the largest percentage
by far.
Yes,
right.
Yeah, you're the
it's
majority
the
of the revenue.
Utilities,
so, right. So not that it's a sell to anybody. However, as a taxpayer, if I get a bill that says 496 or if I get a bill that says 629, it feels the exact same to me. That's a rounded number of $5 in each sense, right?
And that's less than the 3% on the utility.
The businesses of Hertz is like the Arctic Circle. Uh-huh. That's just the your own. You also own. You own, but you're lumped in with the McDonald's of the world in the categories. That's who.
How much do they go from 98 to 120?
So
$20.
Maybe an idea is we could go with that and up the discount a little bit.
Well, again, any you have to think of.
Well, we're at 50% already discount. Does that keep the 50% discount?
Are you talking about on the franchise?
No,
yes.
This is on this. That discounted, correct?
For the businesses.
On the road improvement.
Yeah, I thought it was 25%. Or a 75% reduction.
Right. Oh, is it 75?
Yeah.
It's does it keep that in place?
Yes.
Okay.
It keeps, basically takes now the new number and spreads it out.
No, they're paying
25%. 25% of total, but it's reduced by 75%.
Yeah. So it takes the allocation that they would receive based on 1.2 million and then says, every commercial business is going to get 25% of that. So it provides a substantial reduction for commercial, again, based on that economic consideration. Trying to preserve revenue neutrality, the idea here is a 3% loss in the enterprise funds is made up here by increasing your transportation utility fee. Risk associated with that is the future of a transportation utility fee, the publicity or the public eye on transportation utility fees versus a utility franchise fee, which is universally accepted pretty much with regards to being able to assess that franchise fee on utilities. So there may be some public risk associated with that.
Just in your kind of anecdotal experience, what percentage of cities use that franchise fee model?
6%.
No.
Well, what percentage of cities?
The majority. 100 cities.
Yeah, I would say the lion's share of them do a
80%.
Franchise fee allocation. And others, for example, that have their own power utilities, for example, do substantial transfers. But most assess a franchise fee on their enterprise funds.
In addition to the charge for service.
Yes, in addition to the charge for services.
And I, for those reasons, I believe I like the concept that you've done now. If the concern is we want to restrict those monies, for those reasons right now, I don't know if all of you heard or are aware, so Pleasant Grove's been challenged on their road improvement fee by Libertas, the big ultra-conservative group in the state that runs a lot of legislation. So it's going to really, these road improvement fees are going to be tested in the courts now. And I guess I'm saying, if you go too far on this direction and have this dependency on a road improvement fee, if and when it ever gets challenged and there's some changes, you're now having to back up and go, okay, well, now we got to shift that over and find another way to fund those. So if, with the way you've crafted the ordinance, now you could tell a resident, hey, our priorities right now for some of these funding are roads and our parks. We've got those are important to us. Future council, yeah, and I know a part of that's not what Brent likes about the franchise fee, but the priorities could change in a few years, and it could be, hey, we've got some new investment in some other area, we're going to earmark those. They'd have to undo the ordinance you guys have done, but I think you guys have positioned yourself well if that's a policy decision you guys want to further to say, no, let's keep it, but we're going to restrict it. We've done it by ordinance. We know where those monies are going. Let's see how things play out in the court and all of that. But my concern would be we go too far in pushing too much onto a road improvement fee. If that system comes undone, now we're left to go, okay, now what? Anyway, just something to think about.
Should we increase it a little bit anyway? I'm certain.
There's always a need for roads. It's not like we've.
I mean, we had a pretty big need, and we only got about.
Yeah.
Two-thirds.
Does the model? I don't think the road improvement fee. We didn't model any kind of an annual increase.
So my recommendation, again, from a risk standpoint, Matt's correct. The risk is on the side of the transportation fee, whereas your franchise fee, from looking at other entities and from conducting these types of studies, you maximize that revenue source because there's less risk associated with that. And a lot of entities then establish ordinances or requirements on how to spend those funds. Say, okay, we're going to earmark those funds, but let's maximize a less risky revenue source. And then, you know, looking at the transportation utility fee as a separate component, this is established at this level, then you may look at, as time progresses and you see how this case, for example, if there are legislative action or legal action and it holds up, then you can provide annual increases similar to your other enterprise funds. Then this becomes a quasi-enterprise fund where you're now looking at it independently saying, okay, let's evaluate our capital investment needs, operational needs. What does this rate have to do moving forward? But you now have some time, right, with regards to looking at legal and legislative action to ensure that that risk factor goes down in the future. So I concur with Matt in that there's less risk on the franchise fee, more risk on the transportation utility fee. So I would maximize your franchise fee at that 6% allocation and then just by legislation say, what are we going to spend that on? And that's where that protection comes from, rather than trying to push that impact to a more risky revenue source. Until we see what happens. You know, because the courts could say, no, this is just like a storm enterprise fund. Because the argument from the Libertas Institute is you cannot measure demand, and therefore you cannot control it when it comes to transportation utility fees. And because of that, it should be treated as a tax. And you should eliminate that and cover that cost with a tax. Well, those arguments apply to a storm enterprise fund. You cannot individually measure it unless you figured out some way to meter everybody's residence, which would, I don't see how you could ever do that unless you built a wall around everybody's property. But
I can't measure how many.
But you can't measure square footage of.
Yeah,
you can,
but we have a storm enterprise fund, and there's a fee associated with that, and there's been a storm enterprise fund for the majority of the entities across the state for a long period of time. So I don't see where their arguments are going to go, because we already have enterprise funds that are similar in nature to a transportation utility fee. But who knows? You know, I don't know what the courts will decide.
Well,
but
is Pleasant Grove going to defend it?
I'm sure they will. I mean, it took quite a bit of work for them to even get to this level, and their need is greater than a lot of entities I've seen across the state. But they need substantial road investment improvements. So, you know, again, legal action, there's no way to determine where it'll go.
Or how long
it'll take. So,
but it may prompt some legislators to want to look at them closer.
Yeah. So this is, in my mind, a matter of evaluating risk relative to each of these revenue components.
So, if I can indulge Councilmember Strait, you've made the argument for this a couple of times, and I can see where you're going, and I kind of like the controllability, the transparency, etc. One of the key ways to defend your argument is to make the best argument for the other side. Do you have an argument as to why we shouldn't change?
Well, I don't really feel like that's really important, because either way, I feel comfortable that at least we have an ordinance. And so there's a part of me that is saying, why do you keep going? And you've already won this fight after a couple of years. And so that's practical side. So I don't want to, I think that's the best argument for the other way.
It's going there already.
It
functions.
But
yeah.
But it's just plain, I just think this is better, but I definitely can see that there's been headway made. It's kind of like winning and then saying, let's play again if I lose, you know, double or nothing. I mean, double or nothing is no good if you just won.
Yeah.
double or nothing for the guy that just lost.
Well, that's good to know what the numbers look like.
Yeah. But Fred's just got a few more minutes. Any feedback for Fred or things that he could work with Steve and I on before? Well, tomorrow night's your meeting.
We don't
probably not going to do a lot for tomorrow.
Fred, we don't have a copy of that last one we were just looking at, right?
No.
If that's not impossible, that's a good graph for me.
Was that the side-by-side?
Yeah, with the side-by-side.
Oh, okay.
I thought that was pretty informative for me.
I guess to that point, Brent had thrown out there, maybe it was just being facetious, but is any sense that you want to increase a road improvement fee? To make any adjustments this year?
I see the point with the risk. I don't see how they're successful, but heck, I've been wrong about the law before.
Change the court case.
Yeah, it was on court cases. But you know, we take calculated risks all the time. I think
when did the road improvement fee go into effect? January?
January.
Yeah, I think we collect almost 6 months.
Is that something we look at every January then? After the budget time, is that something that we look at?
You could give it a full year.
Basis when we started it.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to put an increase on in 6 months, kind of thing. Just thinking out loud.
Yeah. Have we gotten any calls from any of the businesses, particularly Tier 4 and Tier 5, about the since its inception?
I mean, after the initial, implementation, we've had calls, but got my car washed at Supersonic today, and they just still there. My wash costs $24 now, though, instead of whatever it used to be.
$18.
Yeah. And guess what? I paid it.
I just like to wash your car at Sonic.
I paid it. Actually, it was because half of it was a little coupon I got at a golf tournament. So
I've been given one before.
I paid $10 for my $24 wash.
So my recommendation on as you evaluate future increases, absent of a full-blown analysis, is to just think about inflation. So a lot of people understand inflation and rate increases that are pegged to inflation, and that makes sense to a lot of people. It's when you deviate from that. So a lot of entities are now looking at saying, let's not sit on our rates and update them every 6 years and then do these big jumps. Let's look at inflation and and adjust our rates based on inflationary increases, and then that's easier pill to swallow than going these big jumps every 6 years or whatever it is.
I do think we look at it in January and see what happened over the course of the year, how much actually came in, and we'll assess it at that point. It's not a bad idea.
But I guess the 6% just doesn't seem to be tied to anything other than our own.
Which 6%?
For the enterprise funds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's justified by
the
what's built into the model by way of
based on what our needs
capital were. Improvements, capital outlay, operations.
We wanted to get to a more equalized annual rate that captured inflation and expenditure unfunded needs. So some of inflation is built into that, as well as your future unfunded needs on operational maintenance and capital investment. So that's why the rate is higher than an average 3% inflationary increase.
And we are slowly drawing down fund balance.
Yes.
So it's the increases aren't funding 100% of that. I mean, we're trying to offset that by drawing down those working days of capital to still a reasonable level, but
ready.
Fred, good to go. Mayor,
I'll get you those.
Thank you.
Those charts.
Just email them to me.
Yes.
And I'll just email them
out. Great.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, everybody.
Safe travels.
Yep. What's the ego
place? What's that?
What's the
ego? It's a personal appointment.
Tell us all about it.
See you, Fred.
I will. Next week.
Have a good anniversary. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know what it is either. Just joking.
Have a good birthday.
Yeah.
Happy
birthday. You know, just a thought, as you guys look at your utility rates, you guys are faced with a tough decision because just based off your fleet too. We sit on things, and then we come at you and throw it at you and say, hey, you gotta do this, just like your roads. We sat on them. Now you've done something, you know, it's hard for you guys to do that, but we're getting somewhere with utility rates. As you increase those that small instead of one little one, and then sit on it for 6 or 7 years, and then we're back to that same thing. It's easier said than done from my end. You guys are definitely in a tough position, but it does. Those little increments, you make that small progress, you know, from our end.
So it might be worth, like you say, if you guys want to revisit that after the first of the year, talk about an inflation adjustment component to the road improvement fee. And if there's any kind of, I'm surprised we didn't talk about an inflationary adjustment when we first did that, just because it does make sense. And people generally get that, right? That
as opposed to the inflation, is there an index for construction costs? Because they're not necessarily the same thing.
It depends.
So there's
I was just at today. The lady from the utility was talking about affordable housing and housing for them. And they said there's a 33% increase in construction costs.
So Adam,
and shortages and labor, can't get subcontractors, so everybody can charge
more. Like, they're starting on our chip sale, and if we had to go out now for the bid, it would be a lot different, wouldn't it?
It would.
And some of the, just so you know, a lot of the analysis, and we'd have to ask Fred. So a lot of the analysis, well, 100% of what I do, you use what's called an MCI. It's called the Municipal Cost Index.
Okay.
It's based on a basket of goods that cities purchase and consume. It's separate from the CPI, but that's why we use that, and that's a nationally produced index.
So that might be the one that we want to peg.
Yeah.
To
yes.
The road maintenance, because that's the true.
Because it represents asphalt,
right,
and tires and.
Not apples and oranges.
Right. It's not grocery items. It's called the Municipal Cost Index.
Well, yeah. And it'd be nice to pass an ordinance that is tied to something concrete.
Yeah.
And just have it happen, because I don't want
the
debate every year. That's part of the reason I want the debate this year on this stuff, because I don't want it every year. Because we need to take care of all kinds of business. And I think the road maintenance fee, as long as it holds up, one of the best things we ever did.
Yeah.
It's the most logical thing on your monthly bill.
And you know, the people see it. You know, the bad thing with, like, you increase your water, they don't see it. You know, even though we're doing all these construction.
Same temperature, it's the same volume.
Exactly.
It's the same.
They take for granted. They walk in, flush that toilet, turn that tap on. You know what I mean? They take that for granted.
They just don't see that.
Where the road,
you're right.
They drive down there. I was inconvenienced today because I didn't, like, you'll probably hear it out at the football. They were asphalt in the parking lot today. Everybody had to walk in. So I'm sure you'll hear it, but those are the things they see. You know what I mean? Versus the water, sewer, or storm.
Yeah, sewer, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
And if you, I just wanted to add, if you want to know the calls that we got for the road improvement fee, those all went to Janine, because she's the one that set all the tiers up.
Gotcha.
And so we directed everything to her because she was the most knowledgeable.
I think the point is, after introducing it and having it show up on 99% of the people's bill, we didn't anticipate it to be a meeting, right? I think the number of calls that we took and the number of calls the city itself took were probably more minimal than we anticipated. Even with the 5 or 6 or 7, it wasn't 79 and 80. You know.
I took one call where the lady was angry, and by the time she was done, she was happy.
Yeah.
About that part.
So is this on the agenda for tomorrow to vote on?
So tomorrow is the budget public hearing and discussion. Is that how we did the agenda? I'm trying to remember. I think it is. So that you could listen to the public, and then you can have whatever additional discussion you want to have on the budget. So as it is going before the public, it is currently with a 3% utility rate increase. And so if you're going back to saying, well, let's keep the 6%, that's a part of your discussion you can have, and direction we would want. Any final changes between tomorrow and next Tuesday, we'll want that made clear for us as staff. So, did you want to look at the agenda?
That's what I was looking
okay.
for.
I think that sounds boring.
My new computer.
I know.
So your agenda is set up, so you go your consent agenda, and then you go your public hearing, then you drop down to discussion items, and the only discussion item you have on there is South Ogden Day's debrief.
So Councilmember,
I wasn't paying attention.
That's what I'm looking at.
After
because I think we talked about it. They would talk about it on the day adopted it.
Yeah.
I don't think.
But the pre. John, what's the pre? What's the pre-council work session? Fiscal year budget.
Fiscal year budget.
Okay. Okay.
So the pre-council. The pre-council will do that. We'll do that from 5 to 6.
Yep. Pre-council.
Yeah, that's a good idea. We'll do that 5 to 6.
Yep. The Sally won't be here. She's out of town. Susan will be here tomorrow. So pre-council, that will be time to have some additional discussion, give staff some direction. But I think for the sake of the public hearing. We can just summarize for the public if anything has changed to the budget that's been out there publicly before the public hearing.
Yeah. So, Matt?
Yeah.
Do you have your budget in front of you?
I do.
I have a couple of questions. Can we entertain those tonight
for sure.
or tomorrow?
No, it's right here.
Do we want to close and be done, and let us ask them offline, or do we want to stay?
No, okay, that's part of the discussion on the budget.
Yeah.
Yeah, what page are you on?
Make certain.
What page are you on, Brent?
Yeah. Okay, so there's actually a couple things. In regards to police, on the. Okay. So I know we're going to purchase 8 vehicles outright. Is the additional 7 vehicles at $247,000, I guess I'm having a hard time putting this together.
So you're looking under $1,055,750?
Are they the same thing? Are they separate? It appears that they're separate because of the total capital outlay of $510,000.
Yeah, there's the traditional lease. Can you see the budget notes on the left?
I do. I see
okay.
the budget notes, but I was under the impression that we weren't... I guess I had a different impression of what was going on there. I thought the police weren't getting that enough, and so that's why we upped the fund balance for $250,000 to buy the vehicles. I didn't know it was stacked on top of each other.
Okay. Yeah, there's 7 in their traditional lease and then the 8 that
okay.
we're purchasing.
And that's part of the lease we did for the
Yeah.
The 7 are the one, or they're part of the $1.9 billion.
The traditional
okay.
lease.
Traditional lease, and then the 8 you're purchasing outright. So they're getting a total of 15 patrol cars.
I don't know why I didn't understand it that way. Okay.
Yep.
And that would be their. You know, you had your 2 different leases. You had one last year, and then you had the one this year. All their cars are set to go this year, those 15, the patrol cars.
Okay.
Yep.
Then let's go down to parks, to the budget notes, just under 10-70-550. So, when...
Okay.
When we had the surprise number for property taxes. I have a picture here where Birch Creek Park, $161,192 of the additional revenue that we were going to put towards parks. Part of that was going to go to the dog park. The park was going to be where am I missing it on here on the budget notes?
So what's the 100 and, what did you say, 160?
Here.
What is it? Yeah, see that. Oh.
Part of it was,
okay, yeah.
it wasn't a straight okay. across 161 for Birch Creek. It was one something and then like 20
yeah.
some odd thousand for the other park. I think it was written to the side, but I don't see that here. I see the grant. I see the fund balance, I see the ramp grant, I see the franchise fee.
Okay. Let's see, Birch. Okay, so it's the 161 on this list that you're trying to connect back to the budget and say, where is that?
Would that be a transfer map from the ramp?
Traditional lease. No, this was, so what's on here, this was when Steve, I think this is Steve's writing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So this is when Steve said, hey, if you maintain your tax rate, he put some numbers up, he said, that will generate an additional $223,000 and change. And then he had written down some proposed ways to spend that $223,000 of new revenue. He put $28,000 was the homeless bill, the sales tax money that was taken. $161,000 could go to Birch Creek. $55,200 for Pumpulence payment, and $15,000 as a traditional lease, which left you still $13,450. Yeah. So Brent, I don't know, but I can get you an answer on that.
Okay. So
what that was.
Some people don't think parks matter. Okay, I've already said I think having public safety, police, and fire is above having a park.
Brent, would you do me a favor? I'm sorry. Will you text that to me?
But
so I'll save me from that.
But I also think that a park is more important than this building. Or even what we did with South Ogden Junior High, because I mean it's not really available that much. If I'm prioritizing things, that's kind of where I place things. Clean water, service, pick up my trash, please. Those are pretty important things.
Yeah.
They're more important than a park. At the same time, I see what we've done with parks. We have a monster of a project. And I don't think that gets done if we don't bond.
But it's not like they don't have other parks to go to in the meantime.
Okay.
Most of them don't travel to Arnold Park. They want their neighborhood park.
No.
That's true.
Right.
But all of this ought to be wrapped up into all the parks throughout the whole city need some things done. They could be improved drastically. We don't have a Bowery up at the Madison Park. Meadows Park. We don't have a Bowery at the Meadows Park, and there's things that can be done to improve. We're going to be making some improvements. We're going to be working on grants. We don't have a match built in here for next year's ramp grant. It's not built into our budget. But if we have a sinking fund, just like we do with roads, and we bond and we commit, okay, see, now listen to me on this. So I'm not a big fan of this franchise fee, but that's part of the commitment, okay? People aren't as happy about the property tax increase. For some reason, that sets, and I think the reason is I never own my property. I think that's maybe what's going on in the head, but...
Well, a lot of them don't understand where to maintain the rate either.
But nonetheless, you know, I think this idea is a good selling point. Hey, we need this, we're going to maintain our rate. Hey, we're committing $161,000. We're committing $160,000 from franchise fee. We're $340,000. We're committing $200,000 a year from the general fund. Hey, we get to where we can commit for a bond, $550,000 a year. We probably put enough money in the sinking fund where we could fund all of our projects over the next 5 years. I think you want to still keep it over the next 5 years, because I don't think we just take our money. I think we bond it, we put it in the fund, and we to keep things moving over a five-year period to where at the end of that 5 years, we have completed parks throughout the...
When does the bond terminate the placement?
2029.
It's 2005.
Right.
25 years.
We take a 15-year bond.
Did we bond in four?
That probably gives what we need.
We did it
paid $200 for a 10-year bond. We got about, what, $1.9 million with, and we pay about $220-something or $230-something a year for that bond. So it costs about $300,000 for that bond.
How do you think... Because I agree with you, Brent, on the idea that if you want to make some serious improvements to parks, that you look at, like Brent has said before, like you want commitment, you bond, and you're going to make your debt payment, right? You're going to budget to pay that. So I agree with that. The best rates that you can get is to go through the general obligation bond. So my question would be, how do you feel the public would, do you understand how that works, right? That's on the ballot, and the public gets to vote on, hey, should the city bond for park improvements, and here's how we would spend that money. Now, that's got some risk to it, because if it fails, are you really going to not do it? Right? Politically, that's the position cities get in.
Here's the thing.
And this happens.
Well, the city's doing it. They're going back in second year.
Yeah.
I guess the thing is that they didn't do a general obligation bond with the gym. And
Right.
Our demographic suggests that there might be some opposition. I mean, I can throw all my support behind it. And... you know, that probably helps if we're all on board.
Well, we have to use what
I just feel like we'll never get it done if we don't do it. But what's the difference in the rates between a general obligation and a sales tax bond, or you know?
I couldn't tell you, but it's worth the pain if you can get the public to vote.
We're going to do this to the north end of town.
Because then you're pledging, you know.
We're doing this to the nature. The
all the parks.
This the club heights, this the best, this the merch base.
Exactly.
I don't know if that's when it ends. This is just in the barn.
And the survey said, the survey said that people had a lot of contact with the parks. I mean,
it's a quality of life issue, like about almost like nothing.
Definitely.
Especially
now, here's
as we grow up, as we our city gets taller and not wider. Open space.
Now,
is a big
something to consider, we are getting ready to put out our annual community survey. Doug's finalizing it. He's going to send it to the department heads and you all. We'd like to keep most of the questions the same, right? Because then you can measure year over year. But one of the questions we're going to pose to the departments and to you, are there any specific questions that you would like to ask in this survey that might be different than we've asked before? And maybe we ask a question related to, you know, would you support a tax increase if it were allocated 100% to improved parks, or some way to ask a good question to find out, at least through the survey, what the public's position would be on that.
Worded about just like that.
Yeah.
So what is the difference in rate?
I don't know, but it's
enough.
It's enough to where, you know, the financial advisors like Lewis Young or Zions are saying, hey, would you guys want to do a GO bond on that? Because you can get, because the GO bond, you as an organization, we pledge everything we've got. So that's why you get such a good rate. Whereas if you go just a sales tax bond, well, that's volatile because it's based on your sales taxes. You could do a utility rate. You could do a, you could pledge your franchise fees. Recreation franchise fees, the 50% that you've allocated by ordinance, you could pledge that because you have control of the rates, right? So the lender would come to you and say, hey, you didn't make your bond payment. You need to go raise your rates so you can cover your payment. Like, you have control. So you can do those different types of bonds. The GO bond, of course, is the cheapest.
So here's my thought. If it's committed, I would be willing to support removing the 50% for roads, put it all in the park. Because I think come January, we ought to do something about roads anyway.
Wait, go back. I didn't follow that.
We raise the road fee in January, and then instead of 50-50 parks and roads together, it's all the parks.
We did start in 2014.
Our bill had a road maintenance fee and a park bond.
What is this one here?
I actually researched that a little bit. Because Sally had mentioned that. Sally had actually said, well, why can't we do the same thing with parks that we did with roads? I think it's a great idea, but in looking for examples of that.
I think that comes back to President. There's no like study of how much
you're being
charged.
So I've actually researched that last week.
I like that. I like that thought process. I like that direction.
But what if we. It's quality. What if we didn't need, what if we put on their bill not how much they have to pay, but how much they did pay? So you have a bond and then say your actual payment, we break it down on line item, put it on their bill, say you paid it this month $6 towards the bond repayment.
Yeah. So building the city hall wasn't a general obligation bond, was it?
No, sales tax revenue bond.
If they had voted to build this building, would the people of South Ogden have passed it?
And I can tell you that's why typically cities won't do that as a geo bond, because residents would say, well,
deal
with it. I just
lease and fire were, they were cramped. They might have been able to pull it off during that
possibly
time frame of life.
That's why unless you're serious, like you wouldn't build a building or do something, you don't go to geo bond, because you run that risk of the residents say no, but are you really not going to build a new city hall?
Well,
and at the time,
school district is fighting that right now.
Right. So you want to be pretty, you know, careful about what you.
Well,
but we could add a survey question out there and get.
You think about it. We have 340,000 franchise fee going directly into that bond, and you have another 200 from the general fund, of which we could say most of that's this year's property tax increase.
So Fred's numbers, was I right, Brent? Fred's numbers, if it went to 624, that raised 150,000.
It's almost 300.
Because that was making up the 150 we were missing. So you
296.
So $2.96?
No.
296,000. 6% is almost 300,000.
I thought he was just looking at making up the. Oh, okay. So that's. That just gives you an idea of.
So let me hear your proposal again, Brent. You say keep it at 6, but instead of 50 parks, 50 roads, you're saying keep it at 6, all parks.
It's
probably going to raise the road maintenance fee.
And in addition to that, we raise the road maintenance fee to
make up the difference.
We make it to where it's systematic and. Well, look at the road maintenance fee. You're at 496.
Yeah, but see, that's
you
only
raise
1%,
that's 5 cents. Well, hey,
look at that.
We're already set. Listen, you passed 6%, which is what they're saying we need to do anyway, right?
Right, but then on top of that would be another $120 per family, give or take.
For what?
If we're going to keep it, move that to 6, keep it there, and then we add the road maintenance fee on top of that.
And property taxes.
Yeah, I mean
No. Property taxes. This is off this year's numbers.
Right.
The .0029.
Well, we're keeping the certified rate, so that's bumping up, and then at 6%, that's bumping up, and then add a road maintenance fee, that's bumping up. I get that.
We're not adding the road maintenance
fee. Minimal increase.
That was a 6% utility.
We're actually right back where we started 2 weeks ago, except
What am I missing?
It wasn't the 6%.
It's where?
In other words, we can throw the, you know, there's going to be some people mad about this, but we were going to pass 6%, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to pass 6% utility rate increase. Right?
Right.
And keep our certified tax rate.
Right.
The only thing that I changed is where we put the money. Because I'm looking at it from a practical,
so
5 years from now, where's South Ogden City going to be? And what I see is if we don't have a vision of these parks, and we don't get the funding put in place 5 years from now, we're going to have phase one done. Maybe halfway through phase two. And that's with getting some grants.
I think we put it on the questionnaire, and I think we explored the GO option. I'm not a big fan of raising another tax again.
We're not raising anything different. January, we'll revisit and look at the road improvement fee. We haven't done anything.
He's not saying to raise it now, he's saying to revisit.
When you look at the road improvement fee. So based on that.
I like the idea of doing for the parks.
Yeah, based on that, you would take, you'd take that franchise fee money. That'd be your debt service payment. And then you bump your road improvement fee to cover the roads portion of that.
We are going, I just did some, just with the new building, we'll be collecting $12,000 a year, more, next year. Once people are living in them and that.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So I mean, and there's other projects coming on, and they're all going to be, and I don't know.
But back to that question, though, think about the survey. Like, if you really want to go GO bond, then you put it in the survey and you start getting a test for how people feel. If, on the other hand, you're going to consider some kind of a revenue bond, or that's franchise fee revenue or sales tax revenue bond, as a council, then I would suggest you just let us do some work in getting you we should do this anyway, give you a difference in what you could expect in rates and payments. Because again, the last thing you want to do is go out, survey the public, do a GO bond, you know, put it on the ballot, it fails, and then a few months later issue a revenue bond to do parks.
Okay. Here's what we do.
You just got to be careful how you navigate those waters.
Here's what we do. We leave the ordinance in place for right now.
Yeah.
Fine.
You can change that mid-year too.
Okay.
Yep.
But here's what we do. We go through every precinct in South Ogden. We pick several prominent individuals within that, and we invite them on a focus group. We talk about the idea of parks. We present to them, this is where South Ogden is. 2 years or 3 years ago, South Ogden purchased these two properties. This is what phase we're on at the Nature Park. This is what we could do at the Meadows Park. Here's what we can do at where Club Heights was. And bring people from every precinct. There's, what, 12 precincts in South Ogden? Right?
Is there?
I think there's 12 precincts. I mean, it could be too big, but what we get... What would be a good number? And then, we have a presentation put forth and say, okay, what do you think? What, you know, here's where we're at.
I'm with you on that.
So what we could do on that, we could, in the survey, you could gather a map and you could gather folks who are interested, and they click on where they live in the community. Say, hey, I'd be interested to serve on a parks development committee or whatever you want to call it. And they could click, and actually through the survey we could gather interested parties, and you guys could look at them and go, oh yeah, this person would be good for this area, and select that group.
They've done this before. When they were putting together the master plan for the nature park, Bob Parrish was on the committee that did that.
Yep.
And there's...
That's great. It'd
be a good way to get community buy-in and support for it.
Tell me this, council member, straight, if you can, because we talk a lot about not binding future councils, right? The easiest way to bind a few future council is to spend their money.
That's right. That's what they.
That doesn't feel right to me to have the conversation a lot of times of, you know, well, we've got an ordinance that they're going to have to do.
The idea was we can't buy future council, but we'd like to.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So.
Well,
I feel like somebody voted in 2004, 2005 to spend our money, and we're sitting in the building right now. I don't know if it was the right or wrong decision. It's probably the right one, right? But they did it, right? And we're bound to that. Are we doing the same thing just because we like parks, and I would like the park to be named after me, when I, you know, and so I raised the money and bonded for it, so now it's the Adam Hensley Park, and everybody else is paying for it.
And enjoying every minute of it.
Well, first of all, Adam Hensley Park, really? Anyway,
Brent's been on a lot longer than you have, Adam. That's what he's saying.
No, you know what?
The BS Park.
The BS
Park. Welcome to BS Park.
There you go.
Thanks, man. I appreciate all the time.
You know, sometimes there's only one way to get things done. That's what we gotta have a vision. They have a vision of this beautiful building, I guess. Now, I may not completely agree with it on my priority list, but I have my priority list, and I think that many residents agree. You look at that community survey. Quality parks is one of the most important elements that they put on there.
If the question on the survey is, would you be willing to pay for quality parks? The answer is yes. If the question is, would you be willing for the council to deficit spend for your park? I bet the answer is no. It's the same question.
But think of it this way. If a resident says to me, why are you raising my taxes, property taxes? Why do you have this newfangled franchise fee that's pulling $300,000 out of my utilities every year. What are you doing with that? You know what? We're building your parks with it. I think it was the mayor that mentioned that when I posed the question on that. He said, well, you build parks and things like that.
But part of the sustainability study is that we get out of this mentality of living week to week, month to month, and year over year as a council and as a city, right? The sustainability was we want to live beyond this yearly band-aid, which has barely made it to the next year, barely made it to the next year. We undo much of that by bonding. That spending ties your hands forever. We're not able to make...
Residents are paying.
You know, I think you should have done that with your house.
What do you mean?
Okay. I think you should have. I think you should have saved money until you could buy your house.
Well, what if I did?
Well, that's great for you. But you know what? What percentage of people do that? Now,
I don't know. But that's
we're point. Raising taxes to meet basic needs, to do water projects. I'm just telling you, if we don't do something, we won't have the parks. We as well sell them and build homes on them, because it won't get done at $343,000 a year of rent money. And how long are they going to do that for? 5 years, maybe? Maybe we won't even get it next year. We don't know. But $343,000 over 5 years is a fraction of what we need. I realize we need to get the grant money. We need to do those things.
Not the
audit
report.
No. But if we don't build it, it won't get done. Or else another council will come in and they'll say, we're never going to get this done. We need to do something about it.
I don't know.
Very good. All right, thanks for comments. We'll see everybody tomorrow night at 5. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Excellent.